Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Trump's decision to fire FBI Director James Comey is drawing some historical comparisons. Not since Watergate has a president dismissed the person leading an investigation into his administration. For a look back at that history and more, let's go to Brian Ballow and Nathan Connolly, historians and co-hosts of the weekly podcast Backstory. Guys, welcome back.
Hey, Jeremy.
And let's start with the Watergate scandal, which has gotten so much of attention, a lot of people making comparisons to Watergate. Bring us back to the situation back then.
Well, the situation was pretty dire. I mean, the investigation of President Nixon's campaign skullduggery had moved from a simple question of a break-in to all kinds of questions about a cover-up that was leading closer and closer to the White House. The Attorney General had appointed a special prosecutor named Archibald Cox. And as that investigation got closer and closer to the president himself, the president decided to fire that special prosecutor. It became known as a Saturday Night Massacre because the attorney general resigned, refusing to fire the special prosecutor. The associate attorney general resigned. And then the solicitor general, third in line, finally fired Archibald Cox.
Although the FBI director was never fired by Nixon.
The FBI director was not fired.
And we should also say that people compare everything to Watergate. That's why they put a gate on the end of every single scandal. I mean, do you think it's fair to compare the firing of James Comey and Sally Yates, I guess, if we want to go back, and all the attorneys, including Preet Bharara? Do you think that it's fair to compare what's happening now to Watergate?
Well, I mean, I think you have to go back a lot further in just thinking about the importance of the FBI as an American institution and as one among a number of bureaucracies in the mid-20th century that have a pretty, ironclad set of guidelines and rules that give them power and access to resources. I mean, J. Edgar Hoover, as the head of the FBI, was one of a number of bureaucrats who were able in many instances to deflect the power of elected officials. And in a lot of ways, you know, Hoover's history is somewhat exceptional in the longer history of the agency itself.
Well, let's talk about J. Edgar Hoover, who served in that role as head of the FBI for almost 50 years. In fact, the way that FBI directors are named and how long they can serve is different post J. Edgar Hoover than it was for him.
Yeah, it's very different. The fact that Hoover served from, I think, 1924 into the 1970s meant that he had accumulated such an incredible amount of power. In fact, for our younger listeners, they should understand that it was more likely that Hoover could fire a president, I'm kind of exaggerating there a little bit, then a president could fire J. Edgar Hoover. There were a couple of presidents who would have loved to fire Hoover. Harry Truman was one of them because Truman's opponent, Thomas Dewey, got some help from J. Edgar Hoover, who had no love for Truman, thought he was soft on communism. But ultimately, Truman backed off because he just didn't know what J. Edgar Hoover had on him, and he was seen as an icon even back in the 40s. And John F. Kennedy had no love for J. Edgar Hoover, but ultimately Kennedy was afraid to fire J. Edgar Hoover. He left him in place. That's how powerful J. Edgar Hoover was.
Yeah, even his most overt political adversaries wouldn't even threaten to call for Hoover's resignation. You know, you think about somebody like Martin Luther King Jr., you know, in December of 1964, King is very forceful in trying to explain to the American public and even, you know, to blame Hoover directly in correspondence for not pursuing prosecutions against the acts of terrorism committed against African Americans in 1961 in Albany, Georgia. The bombing in Birmingham in 1963 goes unprosecuted by the FBI. 1964, Freedom Summer, three civil rights workers, again, infamously killed there. No real involvement or vigorous investigation from the FBI. And even in calling out J. Edgar Hoover, King takes a somewhat deferential tone in correspondence and basically says that, you know, he understands that, you know, Hoover is a great American who's operating under a lot of strain and pressure, and he has sympathy for someone who has served the country so well. So even when he's trying to call the FBI director out for literally not doing his job, he never even gets close to calling for Hoover's resignation.
Well, after Hoover died, there was a new confirmation process for the FBI director. The director was nominated by the president after that and confirmed by the Senate and could only serve a 10-year term. Now, take us back to the last time the FBI director was fired, which was in 1993.
So that would be William Sessions, and he was under investigation by the Office of Professional Responsibility for doing a variety of things, including not paying taxes on limos that took him to and from the office, billing the government for a $10,000 security fence at his home, taking business trips that included his wife, and they met with relatives in the meantime. And even with all of those indiscretions, Clinton waited on word from Attorney General Janet Reno before proceeding with the firing, right? So it was certainly a moment that was exceptional in the history of the Bureau, but it had to be handled with the utmost care, given the fact that the FBI office was in large measure kind of insulated from this kind of rebuke.
So what about what happens now? People are concerned that President Trump is going to nominate maybe one of his close advisors, but they want somebody who is independent, who can, by the way, take on this investigation into Russia and connections with the Trump campaign. What is the history of the FBI director being independent or a close pal of the president's?
When you get someone as powerful as J. Edgar Hoover, you get a lot of independence. Mm-hmm. We spent really a couple of decades reacting to that kind of independence on the part of a bureaucrat. We built in the limitation on the FBI director's term, as you talked about, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. We increased congressional oversight. We created mechanisms for actually being able to look at the records that the FBI was collecting. So what's the product of all of these safeguards against too much independence? You guessed it. A lot more political clout for the person who appoints the FBI director. But I do want to make one important historical point. And it goes back to what you said, Jeremy. The FBI director was not fired during Watergate. And it's very important to point out that the person who was deep throat, who was feeding crucial information to the journalist pursuing the Watergate story, was the number two guy at the FBI, we now know, a guy named Mark Felt. So when you ask what's going to happen, if there are dedicated public servants within the FBI today, they're going to continue their investigation. And even if they're thwarted by the leadership, they may find ways to provide the information they are discovering. On the other hand, we live in a remarkably partisan era, really quite different than the Watergate era, where you have people from the minority party, the Republican Party, like Senator Howard Baker from Tennessee, who really was an incredible hero for pursuing the truth in Watergate, even though he was a Republican and there was a Republican president.
And if people inside the FBI do decide to leak information about the investigation, maybe 40 years later, we will find out who they are, Mark Felt. Right.
I mean, it's also, I think, important to keep in mind that this is a lot of this is being invented as we go along. And we are in the business, obviously, of thinking about parallels to earlier presidencies. But, you know, I tell you, Jeremy, we might be thinking about this thing all wrong, just in one crucial way, which is that perhaps the norms and the kinds of conventions that are abiding in the presidency don't fit. And we should think about the history of business, right? I mean, for Donald Trump to go and be able, at least in his own, you know, kind of political cosmology, fire an acting attorney general, fire a national security advisor, fire an FBI director, the U.S. attorney for Southern New York State, and a few more, right? I mean, this is somebody who actually is behaving like a business. And so business history teaches us that you should be able to fire someone and the problem should go away, right? But in government, when you fire somebody, you get a public hearing, you get backlash, you get blowback. And, you know, Trump's own tweets suggest that he's kind of befuddled by the response that he's getting happening right now, in part because he's been approaching this as a businessman in large measure. And if anything else, it shows us the limits of trying to operate government like a business.
That's Brian Ballow and Nathan Connolly, historians and co-hosts of the podcast Backstory. Guys, thanks as always.
Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy.